is so good. Amen. We're gonna begin today a brand new series called The Holy Spirit. And so we're probably be a 3, maybe 4 week series. But today we would like to just kind of answer 2 questions. Who is the Holy Spirit and what is his role in our lives? Amen. And so that's what we're wanting to address this morning. And eventually we will talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and all these things that the Lord has given us as a gift to do well in life, to accomplish the work of the ministry, but also just to have a victorious life. How many guys need victory in your life? How many guys are tired of being defeated? You're tired of being, you know, just knocked out by the ways and the winds of life? You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to begin. And our main text is in John chapter 14, so if you would open up your Bibles and turn there, that would be incredible. So one of the first things we want to talk about is that the Holy Spirit, he's not a thing, all right? The Holy Spirit is a person of God. And we know that God has 3 persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's 3 persons. And I like to, it helps me to understand a little bit better. We won't fully understand all who God is until we see him face to face. But it helps me in the moment that I'm in my earthly vessel, to think of my own natural way that I am created. I am created with a body, a physical body. I'm created with my spirit, and that's where God speaks to me, and that's where I speak to God. And I'm created with a soul. So I'm just as the book of 1 Thessalonians says, he says, "But and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we are made up of 3 parts. You know, your soul is like where your personality comes from. It's where your emotions come from. It makes you who you are. But your spirit, man, that's where you connect with God, and God connects with you. And, of course, we have a physical, fleshly body. And so having this in mind kind of helps us to understand, not fully, but at least a little bit better, that God is made up of 3 persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're beginning in John chapter 14, verse 15. It says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And I just want to stop right there because that is a very powerful statement that we can just overlook. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so there's something that the Lord is requiring of those who love him. How many guys would say, "I love Jesus"? Yeah? So we got a few Jesus lovers in the place. And so you would say, "I love Jesus." And so he would say to you, "Keep my commandments." And so Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. In other words, and he narrowed it down to us, for us, for 2 simple commandments. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And as you do these 2 commandments, you're actually fulfilling the law of God. For example, if you're loving your neighbor, you're not going to steal from your neighbor. And so therefore, you're abiding by that law naturally as you walk in the love. If you love God, then you're not going to put an idol before you because you love God that much. And so you're not going to put anything in God's place. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, how many of you guys know that it is impossible for you to keep the commandments of God on your own strength? Amen. All right, can I get like a couple of hands in the air and like feet in the air? Like, yes, it is impossible to fulfill the commandments of the Lord on our own strength. But that's where the good news comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because the next verse he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He says, Jesus is saying, I know that you're not able on your own strength to do it, which I am commanding you to do, to love me by obeying my commands. So I'm going to give you some help. I'm going away. And so in this particular passage, Jesus is telling his disciples what is about to happen. He said, look, I am about to be taken from you, but I'm going to send you an helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will help you in all ways. And I would say the Holy Spirit helps you in all ways. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. And so in order to have this kind of love, in order to love God and to obey the commandments of the Lord, we must have the Holy Spirit in our lives. How many of you guys know that love does not originate with us? love originates with God. That's what the scripture says in John, 1 John chapter 4, 19. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. I mean, we didn't start loving God and then all of a sudden God loved us. No, God loved us first. God loved us first and foremost. It says, even in your sins, even in your messed up situation, I love you. Whenever he was on the cross, guess what? You and I were on his mind. He says, I see Ted, that sinner. I see Ted, that messed up person who needs redemption, who needs forgiveness. And so God sent his love for me. He first loved me. Amen. That's the reason we are able to love the Lord. And so we show our love to the Lord by obeying the commandments of God. Now, this helper that Jesus is referring to, in this particular passage that we just read, we see several indicators that he is indeed a person. Let's just look at just a few. He says, another helper is a couple of words that he uses. And so Jesus was a helper. You know, he walked this earth. He healed people. He made people better. He gave them peace and all these. He was a helper to them. As he is being taken up and seated at the right hand of God, guess what? The Holy Spirit comes and he is our helper. He says he will be with you. How many guys, if you ever feel alone in this life, that the Lord says that he is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. He is there to comfort you in your time of loneliness. Spirit of truth is another phrase that he uses. Look at this. Whom the world cannot receive. So anytime you use the word whom, that's referring to a person. Whom the world cannot receive. Look at this. Neither sees him nor knows him. Again, talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, you know him. He dwells with you and will be in you. So we fully understand that Jesus, whenever he is saying, look, I'm going to give you a helper, he's not talking about a force, you know, like on Star Wars or anything like that. He is talking about a person that will accompany you, who will be with you in your time of trouble. The Holy Spirit is a person. But we also see in this scripture that not everyone has the Holy Spirit. Not everyone has the Spirit of God living in them. Look at verse 17 again. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because they don't see him and they don't know him. Well, you may be thinking, well, I've never seen God with my physical eyes. But if you experience the moment of salvation, you've tasted of his goodness. You've seen that the Lord is good. You've seen that he is a loving God. You've seen that he is a merciful God. You've seen him. Your eyes were open. The blinders have fallen off. And guess what? You're not as those in the world who do not know the Holy Spirit. You know him. You've seen him. You've tasted. How many guys remember the moment that you were saved, where the Lord began to work in your life and he revealed to you his goodness? And you were just mesmerized. You were in awe of how beautiful he is, and how can such a beautiful God receive such a sinner like me? And you were in awe. You were awestruck. Verse 18 says, so he's still talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And then verse 25, it says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. So Jesus is giving them a forewarning. And look, there's coming a time where I'm with you right now. I'm with you in the body. I'm with you. You can see me. But there's coming a time where I will be taken away. He is referring to his crucifixion, how the death that he would suffer. And he says it's only going to be for a little while. And as we know the story, it was only for a little while. Jesus died, and it says on the third day that he rose again from the grave. Amen? And that's the reason why we celebrate the resurrection. And so it says, he says, yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And so we know that because Christ lives, he says, look, you also will live, and I'm going to live in you. I'm going to live inside of you. So he's saying, look, I'm going to go on the inside of you. I'm not only going to walk with you in the body form, but I'm going to be in you. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit, the gift that Jesus gave us, he is in us. as we believe in the Lord. Amen. And so now we want to just kind of talk about what is the role of the Holy Spirit. We know that he is a person. We know that he is with us and he is also in us. Now we're going to talk about his role. What does the Holy Spirit do in our life? And so one of the first things that he does, and he has many, and we're just only going to cover four this morning, many roles that he has. One of the first things that he does is that the Holy Spirit works to bring about our salvation. He works to bring about our salvation. How many of you guys remember going back to that day again? For me, it was April the 4th, 1997. It seemed like so long ago. When the Lord began to really pull upon my heart, he says, Ted, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you no longer live for yourself. You no longer have selfish motives, that you start serving me and that you lay down your life for me. And I surrendered. I said, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. And I have gotten it right every time since then. Absolutely not. I've messed up. I've stumbled. I've failed. But I never took my eyes off of Christ. Amen. I never took my eyes off of Christ. I've been walking with the Lord for quite some time now. I'm not doing math right now this morning, but quite some time. And so the Lord brings about our salvation. In fact, the Bible says that no man could even come to the Father unless the Spirit of God begins to draw them to repentance. And we know that that is the Holy Spirit. And so in that moment, I was at a Choir of the Fire youth conference, and I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to repentance. It was just an overwhelming feeling that says, look, you need to repent. How many of you guys remember that moment? You remember that feeling in your life when the Lord convicted you of sin and just brought you to your knees and says, you need to get right with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you know that date, remember that date, because that was the date that the Holy Spirit came into your life. That was the day that the Spirit of God brought life into dead places. You write down that day and you celebrate that day every time you have an anniversary. No man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him, is what it says in John 6:44. Besides leading us to repentance, the Holy Spirit also affirms us that we are saved. I remember whenever I first got saved, even after I said that prayer, there were still like some doubts. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm really saved. So every time the pastor would give an altar call, I was there. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get saved again. Yeah, I'm going to get saved again. And so I must have got saved, I don't know, about 20 times since that one particular time. I want to know without a doubt that heaven is going to be my home. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He lets us know that, hey, look, you are his. You belong to God. That God has his hand over you. And so, and he would even work it about that whenever you do sin and whenever you do stumble and you do fall, that he will convict you of sin because you are his. You belong to him. He won't allow you to go down that road of destruction for a very long time because he will convict you of your sin. He says, no, I have a hold on you. You are mine. Woe to us if we do not feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit whenever we sin and whenever we mess up, because you are in a very, very bad place. You have accepted sin in your life and you have denounced Jesus as your Lord. You are in a very, very bad place. But be grateful and be thankful to the Lord whenever you experience that conviction. It doesn't feel good at the beginning, right? Because the Lord's like, you need to change this. And we don't like to be told what we need to do and what we don't need to do, right? But the Lord says, no, you need to change this because this what you're doing right now is leading you to death. He's concerned about you. He cares about you. And so it may be uncomfortable at the beginning whenever he convicts you of sin, but it's leading towards righteousness. Amen. He is perfecting you. He is sanctifying you. Amen. And so the second thing that we want to point out is that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is our helper. John 14:26. Same chapter, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And he's not just a helper, you know, like in spiritual things. You know, the Bible does say that if you don't necessarily have the words to say whenever you're speaking to someone, that he will give you the words to say in that moment. He does that. But he also helps you in your everyday walk, in your everyday life. Like, for example, there are times when I'm beginning a brand new project or something that is beyond my expertise, and I'm like, God, I really need your help in this area. You know, it could be like working on a car or working on some kind of mechanical part, trying to get my pressure washer working, whatever it may be. I say, God, I really need some direction right here. I don't want to mess this thing up. And I tell you, whenever I do ask, for the Holy Spirit's help, that he helps me even in those things. Think about it. If the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, God, if it's God living on the inside of you, he is omniscient, meaning that he knows all things. He knows all things. And there is nothing that is hidden from him. So why not ask God, God, what should I do in this situation? How do I go about doing, God, help me to do this well, even in my daily work. This goes in relationships as well. God, help me to respond to my wife in a loving way so where this problem doesn't escalate. God, help me to use words that are kind and to use a soft answer that turns away wrath. Holy Spirit, help me to do that. And the Holy Spirit does. He is your helper. He will help you in every aspect of your life if you ask him. Amen. How many of you guys know the Holy Spirit to be your helper in your life? How has he helped you before? What has he done for you before? How has he guided you? Amen. And so there's also been times whenever I have not asked the Holy Spirit to help me. Countless times, but I have not asked the Holy Spirit to help me. And I was like, well, I got this. I'll figure it out myself, right? And I just fumble around with it, and the task takes, you know, a lot longer than what it should have ever taken because I didn't sit there and ask for the Holy Spirit to help me. I said, no, I got this. Every time we think that we got this and we try to do it on our own way, guess what? We're going to stumble and we're going to fall. And the Holy Spirit is like, I was right here. You could have just asked me, you know? But he is our helper, and he is committed to you. The next thing that we want to talk about is that he's not only our helper, but he is our teacher. He is our teacher. And I like the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person and he teaches us on a personal level. Like we can be talking right now in a assembly with many people, but yet the Holy Spirit will make it alive to you, and it will make it alive to you, and it could be something totally different in your life, and the Lord could speak something totally different in your life because the Holy Spirit is a personal teacher. Just as a good school teacher would take the time and say, okay, well, what you need, little Johnny? Do you need some help with this? Do you need some help learning what 2 + 2 is? I will help you, little Johnny, right? And so in the same way, the Holy Spirit is saying, what do you need help with? What do you want to learn? And let me just tell you that anytime that you dive into the Word of God, it is always a good thing to ask the Lord to teach you what the Scriptures are saying. I mean, you can learn a lot in Bible college, but there is no greater teacher than the Holy Spirit. Amen? There is no greater teacher than the Holy Spirit. He will bring the Word of God alive to you. He will show you things that you may not have even thought about before and totally, really teach you. He is your teacher. So if you're reading the Word and you come across something, you're like, God, I just don't really understand what it is that you are trying to say, ask. And it will be given. Seek and you will find. And he is a very present help. He is your teacher, a personal teacher, one-on-one tutor, and he will teach you what the Word is saying. Amen? He is your teacher. And lastly, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He gives the type of peace that is not found in this world. Amen. And so like whenever the world seeks peace, they will use mysticism apart from Christ. Whenever the world finds peace, they will use yoga and all these other things. And it might bring like a moment of peace, right? You might have a moment of peace, but it's not a sustained peace. The only peace that surpasses all understanding is found through the Holy Spirit. It's the peace that Jesus gives us. Amen? It is a real and authentic peace. He gives a peace that is not like the world. The world's peace is fading, but Christ's peace, it endures forever. That's why you're able to go through a pandemic and still maintain your faith. That's why you can see everybody else fretting around you and being discouraged and afraid, but you can have a peace that surpasses all understanding because you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You have no reason to fear. You have no reason to be anxious. You have no reason to fret. Because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. He is with you. He is your helper. He is your comforter. And he is with you. Amen. It's a peace that is not like this world, and we are people who are not like this world. Amen. We don't act as the world acts. We're not afraid as the world is afraid because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's the kind of peace that will guard your heart and it will guard your mind. Because how many of you guys know that you need your mind guarded from the thoughts of this world? I mean, Facebook and social media is bombarding your thoughts, right? With so many different things. You need the Holy Spirit to protect your thoughts. You need the Holy Spirit to guard your heart. Otherwise, I mean, you can find yourself on this roller coaster of emotions. But he comes and he brings peace into your life, a peace that surpasses all understanding. So just to recap what we've talked about so far this morning, the Holy Spirit is a person from God. It's one of the persons of God. The Holy Spirit has many roles in our lives. He brings about our salvation. He also affirms our salvation, that we are his. The Holy Spirit is our helper, he is our teacher, and he is our comforter. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please, as we close out this message? Perhaps you're in this place and you really need the Holy Spirit in your life to teach you. You really need the Holy Spirit in your life to comfort you. You really need some peace in your life that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not like the peace that is found in this world. Perhaps you even need the assurance that you are saved, that you are his, that you are blood-bought, that you are blood-washed, that you belong to Christ. You are a child of God. You need that assurance today. I would ask that you would just ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life and affirm your life. For those who are just needing affirmation, God, I pray for them, Lord, that you would affirm their lives, Lord, today, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that they are yours and they belong to you. It would never be a question again. Lord, for those who are on the outside who have not repented of their sins, you said, Lord, the Holy Spirit is not for the worldly. So we ask, Lord God, that we would be yours. Lord, if there's anyone in this place, God, who has not repented of their sins and confessed you as the Lord, God, that they would do that this morning. That they would not miss out on this gift that you have given us, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, us as believers, Lord, those of us who have been walking this life for some time, Lord, would you today just fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord. Teach us your word. Give us the peace that we need. Calm our hearts. Guard our hearts. Guard our minds, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you, and we just give you all the praise and all the glory in this place. Lord, and as we continue this series coming weeks, we do pray, Lord, for an infilling of your Holy Spirit in our lives each and every day, Lord. Lord, we need you, not just on Sunday, but Lord, we need you on Monday. We need you on Tuesday. We need you on Wednesday. God, we each and every day, Lord, we need a filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, we need more and more of you. Even as the day approaches of your coming, God, we need more and more of you. Fill us, Lord, today. If that's your prayer this morning, would you just raise your hand and say, God, just would you fill me afresh, Lord, with your Holy Spirit? Fill me afresh. If you're needing peace, say, God, would you just be my peace? Would you just bring peace, Lord, to my troubled heart right now? God, if you're just needing direction in your life, the Holy Spirit will direct you. Would you direct me, Lord Jesus? Would you direct me? Would you give me peace? Lord, we just worship your name and we just magnify the name of Jesus in this place. Let your will be done in our lives, in this church, in this city, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know that it's not going to be a program that brings in the lost. It's not going to be a worship song that does it. But Lord, it's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need your power. We need your presence, oh Lord. We need you, Lord Jesus. This nation needs you, Lord. This nation is in a mess, oh God. Lord, we've done some things as a nation, God, and we need forgiveness. We ask, Lord, for your mercy, Lord God, over this nation. We ask for your mercy. We ask for Pentecost. We ask for the day, Lord, just a feeling, Lord God, of your Holy Spirit, Lord, today. In the name of Jesus. We just give you all the praise and glory. And let your name be praised forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and that He comforts, that He gives peace, that He's our teacher and our helper? And so we're just praying that you would walk in His power this week, and join us next week as we talk about being filled with the Spirit, and then next week as we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. It's going to be an incredible series. We can't wait to see you. Bring a friend. Join us Wednesday night at 6:30. We love you guys. Hug someone's neck and just pray over them and speak the good news of Jesus. We'll see you guys soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful and blessed Sunday.